We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The Church of Jesus Christ is far from perfect, but can this world get along without it? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you established your church and told that body of believers to go forth to proclaim the gospel. As we look at the church today, as was true in every age, we see its imperfections. We see its sins. And people standing on the outside looking in say, "And this is the church." Father, we pray that you will forgive us our sin, that you will help us to overcome all of those wrongs, that you will help your church to be more zealous in bringing the message of Jesus Christ to this world. O God in heaven, we need your grace. We're far from perfect, but we know that in spite of the imperfections, you still continue to use us. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon told them. And they said, "We'll go along with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, during the next few weeks, there will be thousands and thousands of young people across America who will be graduating from high schools and colleges and other institutions of learning. Many of them will be very, very well trained, but they have no jobs for what they have been trained to do. So they are frustrated, and more than one of them has asked, "Where do I go from here?" It is frustrating to wonder what the future is going to be. Where am I going to be 5 years from now? What will life be like for me then? It doesn't matter whether you're a high school graduate and you're young, or you're far advanced in age. When the future is uncertain, you ask the question, where do we go from here? And that was a question that a widower asked me not long ago. He had just buried his wife. They had been devoted to one another, and he could not in any way anticipate what the future was going to be for him. And he actually used those words, "Where do I go from here?" Those were the words, I believe, on the basis of our text, that the disciples of Jesus Christ were asking during those 40 days after the resurrection and coming up to the ascension. They had been well trained by Jesus. They had been told that they would continue the work that Jesus had begun, and they would be used by the Holy Spirit to build the kingdom of God. They knew that, but how was it going to be? What would be the role of each one of them? How would they get started? And I can't help but believe that sometimes they might have had some pretty warm arguments on that question. You know, after all, they were human beings. And certainly, especially during those days, just before Jesus' crucifixion, they revealed their humanness. And so couldn't it be that they might not always have agreed as to how the future was actually going to work out for them? Well, perhaps it was in the midst of one of those hot arguments that Peter could have said, and he did say this, for the text tells us, "I'm going to go fishing." And a half dozen others of the 12 said, "Good idea. We're going to go along with you." So into the boat they got, and they fished, the Bible says, all night. But they caught nothing. And then it is that one could very well have said, "You know, the fish were there, but we have lost the art of catching them." And then another person could well have said, "Why were we ever so foolish to leave what we were doing and follow him?" And then a whole group of them would have come in on that person and they would have said, "Hold on. We may not know what the future holds, but this we know, that we would not have traded one single hour of those 3 years that we were with Jesus for the rest of our lives. We don't know where he's going to lead us, but lead us he will." Well, after they caught nothing, they decided to go to shore. And if you had read the rest of the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, you would have learned what happened then. Let me summarize just a bit of it for you. When they were depressed and they had gotten to shore, Jesus appeared to them and he said, "How's the fishing?" One of them cried out, "It's the Lord." And then Jesus said, "You want some fish? Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did that, they were unable to haul in the number of fish that they had caught. Then they got a fire going, and they had breakfast. And Jesus had a discussion with them. Now, what did he talk about? Well, I don't know. But I can very well imagine. And I would ask you to accept this as a possibility. I think he could have said, "You know, in Caesarea Philippi, I told you that I was going to build my church, and the gates of hell could not prevail against it. That church would be made up of people who believe in me as their Savior and their Lord and were willing to take up their cross and follow me. Now it has been a number of days since I rose from the grave, and you're wondering what in the world is going to happen. You can see that individual believers going their own way is not going to accomplish a whole lot. That's why I have established my church. So just wait a bit longer. The day is near at hand, and that church will be built. And when it is built and you are a part of it, marching under my orders as a group of believers, there will not be enough hours in the day to get the mission done that I have asked you to do. Board now, but you will not be tomorrow." What Jesus is saying is that an organization is needed to accomplish a work that has to be done. Individuals cannot do what a group can do. Now, the individual is needed. But those people who say, "Oh, I don't need the church," really, if you judge that statement on the basis of the Word of God, they don't know what they're talking about. How would they have faith in Jesus Christ if it had not been for the church? And the church of Jesus Christ would not have gone to the far parts of this world if it had not been under the mandate of God and blessed by the Holy Spirit. I don't think that should be so hard for us to understand. The necessity of the church is true in every industry. A few days ago, I visited with a young person. Well, he's not so young anymore. He looked young. He said, I have been with a John Deere tractor company for 29 years. When I came out of the university as an engineer, they hired me, and I went to work for them. I'll never forget that first day, the direction I got that first day. And I'm sure that I was one of just a mass of people who were hired in the spring of the year. We were going to become a part of a great organization made up of highly trained people. Some of them of professional status, some of them of very, very skilled status. And we all joined our efforts together. And we became a great company that produced some of the greatest tractors and farm equipment that has ever been made. I couldn't have done that alone, he said. I had to be a part of a great corporation. If that's true, as far as John Deere's or General Motors or Ford or Remington Rand or whatever it might be, it is also true of the church. No matter where you go, friend, because the church is an organization made up of those who are committed to the Lord Jesus. That's the church. You find these believers in every community, and they're doing their mission. What is their mission? When there is an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, they are very, very anxious to do it. And they're anxious not only to work in their own little community, but they want to go beyond their community. And so the church has advanced and it has moved into all parts of the world. Until today, there perhaps is not hardly a place that does not hear the message of Jesus Christ in one way or another. It is a church that finds its way right into to all kinds of places in our community. You go to a hospital, and there you find the chaplain. He'll come into your room, and he'll say, would you like to have me read with you and pray with you? And if you give your assent, he'll be gracious to sit down by your bedside and help you. And if you want him to come back, he'll come back again. You go to the military, and you're away from home in Iraq or wherever it may be. And you think of those days in your home church. Well, there is a church. They sent out a chaplain. He's got the same message to tell you if he's an evangelical and you come from evangelical church, that God is here with you in these dusty old fields. And he's going to walk with you and love you, guide you, console you. That's the church. If you go to prison, you'll find the church. There is a chaplain telling the story of the forgiveness of sins. And even though your sin has been so grievous that you have been incarcerated and you have to stay there for a number of months or years or probably all of your life, the Lord Jesus will be there with you. And he'll change you. And he'll say to you, it doesn't matter what terrible crime you have committed. If you trust Jesus, he paid for that sin at Calvary's cross, and he is more than anxious to forgive you and to make you a brand new person. If you walk through the ghettos, you'll find there the mission houses, where the homeless come, and where they are fed and clothed and given a bed in the bitter cold night. That's a church. Probably the best part of the church, as far as that particular mission is concerned, is the Salvation Army. That's a church. Yeah, they'll feed your stomach, but they'll also feed your soul. That's why they're called the Salvation Army. They tell you about the Lord Jesus. That's a church. Is there any wonder that Jesus would say, I can't get along without the church? I've got to have it organized, and then I'm going to send it out under good leadership, and the Holy Spirit is going to use that. Now, I know that some of you will say, well, that isn't always the way the church functions, and I understand that. I'm a realist. Of course, the church can be a real disappointment, and it has been a disappointment in every age, not just in this age. Of course, it's been a disappointment in this age. When we've read all of these hideous stories in the papers, and the media seems to be very anxious to pick this up and to give us every gruesome detail they possibly can. And those looking on the outside in say, I don't think I want to have anything to do with the church. Why not, people? The church is made up of sinful individuals like you and me. Sure, there's corruption in the church. And sure, we have to try to do our very best to get that corruption out and to change that church with the work of God's Spirit. But experience teaches us that as imperfect as this church is, Jesus Christ can use it and build on it and make it his voice in the world and in our communities. If you're wondering, how do I put my Christian witness to work in teaching others about Jesus Christ? I would hurry on to say, well, never forget that you're an individual witness. And you have to tell the story. You have to carry on as an individual witness for Jesus Christ. But don't forget the church. Become involved in the church. Love the church. Support the church. And grant that you can be just a little bit of that marvelous group, the body of Christ, marching on with the good news of salvation. What's going to happen from here? Only you know, but this part we do know, and that is that God will be using his church. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we pray that as a part of the church, this broadcast may be used to reach into the homes, into the automobiles of people who have taken the time to listen. Help us to understand, Lord, that we can only be a part of the church when Jesus Christ lives in our hearts, that it is entirely different in being a part of the church as Jesus describes it in the Bible, and as sometimes we think of it in our society. Help us to understand that the church is far more than just an organization, like others that we belong to that have good purposes, but help us to understand that we are the body of Christ. O God, purge our church, the one church, your church, that has many errors. Grant, O God, that we may honor your word, that we may understand that the proclamation of that word is our only mission. So come, Lord Jesus, and sustain us with your truth. Use that truth to motivate your church. And Holy Spirit, grant that through your efforts, the name of Christ may be honored, for we ask it in his name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry. We thank each of you for your continued financial support. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on his or her birthday or some other occasion. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed, and you can listen to past sermons at oneplace.com. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.